Welcome to Intel on AI, a podcast series that brings you the latest on cutting-edge tech driving artificial intelligence in the enterprise today. And now your hosts, Derek Osborne and Emily Hudson.
Hello and welcome. My name is Derek Osborne.
And this is Emily Hudson.
And this is another edition of Intel on AI. Today's guest is Gionacio Agorakis, and he is here from JQuant. Gionacio, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Could you tell us a little bit about yourself and then tell us about JQuant?
Sure. I'm the founder and CEO of JQuant. JQuant is a data science company focused on building solutions for enterprises. So our ultimate goal is to improve efficiency, improve the profit margins and growth of companies from a wide range of industries. Myself, I have kind of a different career path. I majored in business, actually, so I have a BBA. And later, I went to a master's in science in computer engineering. And then I built on that my skills to AI and data science and then started the company.
Can you tell us a little bit about JQuant and the type of projects that you work on at JQuant?
Yes, sure. Our first question when we start talking with a company, with a customer, is what do we want to happen? So you want growth, you want just your supply chain to be more efficient, you want to have a better pricing policy, you want to have a people analytics engine going on within your organization. And from that, we kind of start unrolling that into other objectives, other questions that we can answer using data science. So we're talking, of course, statistics and sometimes exploratory studies, but also deep learning and more advanced, sophisticated algorithms, reinforcement learning and that kind of thing.
Is there like a particular industry or a particular data type that you prefer to work on?
Actually, we work with a really wide range of industries. I mean, we just delivered now a project in the esports industry. It's a skill level project for Counter-Strike. We work with consumer goods on pricing and forecasting. We have worked with healthcare on time, length of stay estimation, the prediction for hospitals. So it really is a wide range of industries that we work on.
Esports to healthcare, that is quite a range of industries to support.
Yeah, but I mean, there is a lot of similarity in the structure of the problem.
Well, I was going to ask you, clearly these enterprises have similarities in terms of the challenges they face. Can you talk a little bit more about the challenges they encounter when trying to predict pricing or demand or inventory?
Sure. There's two big kind of problems of challenges that we face when we're going through a project. There is the technical challenges, which are often more easy to solve. We just need to do more research or spend more time testing and evaluating the algorithms and the techniques. And there is the business side of the problem, which we also focus on our consultancy solution. So there is change management, there is culture. How do you teach people to take decisions working within an algorithm? The algorithm is not here just to like get people away from their jobs, to put people away from companies' problems, the issues, but to empower them. So we have this kind of huge challenge to slowly and constantly building upon an emerging data-driven culture. That's the main, I guess, the main challenge that is so repetitive across industries. You have to teach people how to make decisions using algorithms and learning from them and also teaching them and also taking a lot of care of how to use the data, how to store the data, and all those new things that are going on right now.
Yeah, I think the business end is often overlooked. As a data scientist, we tend to get focused in on the pure accuracy of a model, but there's much more that goes into it, like the data, how do you get the data, what do you do with the model afterwards? Could you talk a little bit about the data, the state of the data, and the type of data that you are seeing in your projects?
That's a very interesting question, because when we have our first meetings with our customers, they usually ask us, look, our data isn't perfect. Our data isn't probably in the best shape. In the past, we didn't take enough care of our data. So we have a lot of different kinds of data. We have a lot of unstructured data that we also have to extract them from social media or from presentations or from web scraping websites. There are a lot of ways that we get this data, but we work essentially with all kinds of data. We have projects with text, images, and the only data we haven't worked with until now is voice. I mean, we have done some voice analytics, some speech recognition, but it was much lesser extent than the tabular data from like selling, from invoices and CRMs.
A lot of times with unstructured data, you get to have really large data sets. Do you see that there's memory constraint when you're creating your models?
Yes, and that's not only true with unstructured. Most of the times when you're dealing with text or images, you're memory bounded when you're trying to run your algorithm. And this has a huge impact, and mostly in the inference part of the project, where you are already have trained algorithm and you have to just put it, deploy it into production to start evaluating it in the real life, in the real day-to-day of the business. There are a lot of use cases where latency is a problem, where you can't just wait for 15 minutes or 30 minutes or 1 hour to have an inference done. So the memory constraint is a real issue there. But also with structured data, I mean, when you're dealing with forecasts, for instance, you have daily forecasts of each one of the products for each one of the point of sales, and this quickly grows up into a unmanageable large quantity of data.
I know that one of the benefits of using the new Intel second gen Xeon Scalable processors is reducing that memory bandwidth issue. Have you found that in your experience?
Yes. We actually had a use case within huge consumer customers where we built an algorithm for forecasting and for estimating the joint density of price and demand. So when you change your price, how your possible demand scenarios change along that. And so you can scope a pricing policy that optimizes your revenue, your future revenue. So we had an issue with memory constraint. With memory, we had a memory-bounded algorithm, and we worked with Intel so we could process the inference using CPU, and we got away with it.
I know you remember the Intel AI Builders program. Has that been a useful program for you?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that caught my attention in the early talks with the people from the program is that it was a technical program. It was very, very hands-on technical. So from the very first week, we were in touch with Intel engineering team that worked alongside with us, like hands-on with the code, changing parameters, teaching them how to have hyperparameters in the program to align with the goals, how to benchmark it against other possibilities, how to profile our algorithm. So it was a very, very interesting experience for me and for my engineering team, my data science team.
What type of tools do you use like to deal with such broad data and broad use cases? Is it a proprietary to JQuant or are you using a public tool?
Yeah, we are open source based or commercially available software. We don't have any kind of proprietary way of handling data or processing them, of course, aside from the algorithms that we build for the use case. We run mostly on Python and open source projects like TensorFlow or PyTorch. From the data architecture point of view, that's very problem dependent. But we work sometimes with clusters, with data lakes, and sometimes we have to work with Spark or PySpark and to handle like streaming data. But we currently default to commercially available solutions or open source solutions, which is, of course, our preferred route for this.
Do you take advantage of the Intel optimized TensorFlow and the Intel distribution of Python for those?
Yeah, that's one thing that we actually learned from being in touch with the Intel engineering team. I was already aware of the MKL library, the optimized math kernel library. But I wasn't aware of TensorFlow that was optimized for Intel and was already compiled with all the optimal libraries and optimal parameters, and the Python, Intel optimized Python. And more important, also we learned how to actually use them and how to actually configure and how to profile to extract the most of the currently available hardware. And that's very important because we as solution providers to our customers, we have the responsibility to tell them, to say to them, look, we need this kind of environment. We need this hardware. We need that this kind of CPU architecture. So So it's very important for us to really understand in depth why we are choosing this or that, and why are we willing to recommend buying a physical hardware or buying it on the cloud, and how to choose virtual machine configuration. So this is very, very important to us.
I'm so happy to hear that our framework optimizations are helping your company. For listeners, if you want to learn more about those, you can go to software.intel.com/frameworks. And for listeners who want to learn more about JQuant, is there anywhere they can go on the web?
Yeah, sure. They can go to jquant.com. And also on social media, we have JQuant Social on Instagram and JQuant Community on Facebook. Also on LinkedIn.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today on the podcast. It's really been a pleasure to have you.
Thank you, Junior Nasio. It was a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Thanks again for tuning in today. This is Emily Hudson.
And this is Derek Osborne.
And you're listening to Intel on AI.